Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. It is Saturday. Hope your weekend is going amazing, and always appreciate you guys checking out the podcast, even on the weekend. You guys are the diehards, the dedicated ones. Appreciate you guys a ton. Here's the deal, right? Training camp is coming up in a week and a half. For those of you who might be new here, or if you've been here for a while, you should know that there's going to be a lot of live shows, a lot of training camp recaps and reviews, preseason, probably live shows and previews and recaps and everything like that. There is going to be a ton coming out on this channel. My guess is Ross Uglum is going to be ramping up around that time as well. So here's the thing. Make sure that you've got your notifications turned on. Click the little bell on YouTube. Make sure that you're getting automatic downloads on your favorite podcast stations. Set those reminders up. Of course, follow, subscribe, like. Don't let the algorithm choose for you. Make sure that you're getting all of the great Pack-A-Day content from myself, Ross, and everyone else on the team as well from the audio side every single day, and that you're not missing anything. And with training camp coming up, you're going to want to do that. So not only does that help you get the content that you're going to want coming up for training camp, but also it's going to help the channel a ton. So would always appreciate that. Of course, check out those Pack-A-Day podcast YouTube memberships as well. Today, we are going to be going over part two of our ranking of players from 90 to 1. In case you missed yesterday, we did 90 through 61. We'll go through those in just a moment. Today, we're going 60 through 31, and then tomorrow will be 30 to number 1. Here is yesterday's list. Go back and listen to the full episode if you haven't already. You can get a lot more information on a lot of these players. But here is the list real quick, just to kind of catch you up to speed. Number 90, Alex Hale. 89, Keith Randolph. 88, Johnny Lumpkin. 87, Isaiah Dunn. 86, Brant Banks. 85, Sam Brown Jr. 84, J.J. Lippi. 83, Cameron Young. 82, Kazir Brown. 81, Trey Hill. 80, Deslin Alexander. 79, Jalen White. 78, Nesta Jade Silvera. 77, Tyron Herring. 76, James Esther. 75, Amar Johnson. 74, Cornelius Johnson. 73, Gregory Jr. 72, Jonathan Baldwin. 71, Tyler Cooper. 70, Nasir Stackhouse. 69, Messiah Swenson. 68, Jamon Johnson. 67, Julian Hicks. 66, Taylor Algersma. 65, Sean Clifford. 64, Omar Brown. 63, Aaron Mosby. 62, Christian Welch. And number 61 was Kalen King. All right, so without further ado, let's get through number 60 to 31 today. Number 60. In fact, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to do something we normally don't do on our top 90 list here. I'm actually going to go for a tie between number 60 and 59. They both play the same position, and that is John Fitzpatrick and Ben Sims. I'm really interested to see how this tight end battle sort of shuffles out. Messiah Swenson is a player we talked about yesterday. I think he's in this conversation as well. Green Bay needs might be aggressive, but they would love one of these players to step up and be the true number three tight end. I really liked Ben Sims as a rookie. There was some developmental stuff that you needed to see take place in order for him to really kind of recognize it. But as a rookie, I thought Ben Sims had real legitimate number two tight end potential. Ben Sims got that opportunity in year two because of Luke Musgrave's injury for the vast majority of last year and really didn't take advantage of it at all. So much so that the Packers picked up John Fitzpatrick from the Falcons practice squad, and he was active at the end of the year, and Ben Sims was actually inactive at the end of the year. So Fitzpatrick supplanted Sims this past year. Now, personally, I still think Sims has more talent, upside, and is just the better player than Fitzpatrick. Green Bay clearly felt different at the end of the last year and liked Fitzpatrick a little bit more. Meanwhile, they did give Fitzpatrick some signing bonus money as well. So this was not just a vet minimum re-signing. This was actually something that they did give a little bit of bonus money to. He got a one-year, $1.5 million contract with a $125,000 signing bonus And then he also got a $75,000 workout bonus and a $100,000 per game roster bonus. So he could potentially have a cap hit up to $1.43 million. And again, $125,000 of that was guaranteed. So this is a very interesting player to kind of keep an eye on. They clearly like him to some real extent. And the battle between Fitzpatrick, Sims, and Swenson is going to be a very interesting one. I'll add on top of this. If you told me that there was potentially a player that made the team that's not on the roster right now, clearly if they go sign like a legitimate veteran, that would be a player. But there could easily be a player in play at number three tight end that we don't see coming. Would not surprise me if Green Bay picked up a tight end off of waivers and decided to maybe go in a different direction if Fitzpatrick and Sims and Swenson do not show up and play well in training camp. So keep an eye out for that tight end three position. But right now, Fitzpatrick at 60, Sims at 59. All right, number 58 on this list is a really interesting one to try to rank. That is John Williams, the Packers' seventh-round draft choice, one of their seventh-round draft choices. I really liked John Williams coming out of college. This is a classic Green Bay Packers day three offensive line draft pick with a ton of versatility. And I thought that he could potentially play guard or tackle. They would potentially move him around at OTAs and minicamps. And we didn't see John Williams at OTA or minicamp. He was at rookie minicamp. We saw him there. And we just didn't even see him. Now, allegedly, per Packers PR, he was there in the building somewhere. There was nobody absent from the mandatory mini camps, but we didn't see him with the rehab group. We didn't see him training outside. He clearly was not with the offensive linemen. We did not see John Williams. Hopefully, everything's okay, both personally and athletically and from an injury standpoint. I don't know. You know, clearly with a mini camp thing, the first thing was like OTAs. He can't be skipping OT, like the non-mandatory OTAs, right? But then he didn't practice at minicamp either. My guess is probably some sort of injury issue. Hopefully he's going to be good to go come training camp. But if he did suffer some sort of injury, or if there's some sort of Cole Madison type of situation here, that would obviously be a huge bummer because I do think he has some talent and has a real opportunity to make this 53-man roster. I don't want to speculate on anything. I have no idea. We have no clue up until this point. There's been no report on what's going on with John Williams. Hopefully we get to day one of training camp and he's just out there practicing and everything's great. But he is a little bit of a mystery box at the moment. Just we haven't really had the opportunity to see anything from him. Still think the talent's there. And hopefully, again, we get that good look at him early in training camp. But for now, he comes in at number 58 on the list. Number 57, we're going to go through quite a few offensive linemen here coming up in the next few players. Number 57 is Donovan Jennings. Jennings got first team reps with the offensive line. Now, the funny thing here is, you know, he got first team reps for the first 2 days of minicamp. And I asked Matt LaFleur and I prefaced it. I said, hey, I wholeheartedly understand we're, you know, shouldn't be taking anything away from who's playing with what group and things like that. But I did notice Donovan Jennings was with the ones. And, you know, what was the impetus for putting Donovan Jennings with the ones? And dead serious, reading his poker face, I don't think he's lying. Matt LaFleur said, I didn't even know Donovan Jennings was with the ones. So they do move these guys around quite a bit. It has to mean something, right? Somebody, whether it was Adam Stenovich or Luke Butkus or somebody, decided that Donovan Jennings was going to get the opportunity to work with the ones and start with the ones on that side, on the one side of the field, right? I don't think JJ Lippy could have just walked over and be like, yep, I'm going to start with the ones today. Somebody had to have made that decision. So that still seems like some sort of good sign. Maybe it was they just wanted to get a look at him with the ones. Like, what does it look like for a couple of days with the ones? And again, offensive line play, defensive line play, and OTAs and minicamps really does not matter to any real extent. It's more mental reps than anything else. But it was interesting nonetheless. Donovan Jennings was a UDFA. A lot of people really liked, was a draftable player in the 2024 NFL draft. Does not get drafted. Green Bay is able to pick him up, was a player that they gave some significant signing bonus money to, was injured for a big chunk of 2024 camp, which made it so that they released him, brought him back on the practice squad, and just stayed on the practice squad for the entirety of the year. Now it seems like he's going to get a real opportunity. I think Jennings has a legit chance to make. Now they probably need to keep, you know, 10 guys on the offensive line. Maybe he could make it as number nine. He has some heavy lifting to do with the offensive lineman ahead of him. Them drafting John Williams, the guy we just talked about, that adds even more competition to that room. But I do think Jennings has a real chance here. And again, the fact that he got some time with the ones in minicamp, I don't think can be a bad sign for him. So very excited to see what he can do in camp. And if he gets more additional reps with the ones, clearly I should note as well, the reason he was with the ones was because Aaron Banks was out injured at the end of mini camps. So that opened up that left guard spot, but still they did give it to Donovan Jennings in that situation. Number 56 is the other seventh round pick. We're going to skip one that's not an offensive lineman here. That is Micah Robinson. This is another one that's really intriguing. I liked Micah Robinson's tape. I watched him quite a bit because he was a top 30 visit for Green Bay. And we know those top 30 visits have a great chance of becoming Green Bay Packers. He was not high on a lot of like draft Nick boards. Like he was well down the list, like 500, 600. And I think the consensus draft board, you went and watched him and you immediately saw the speed stand out. Super competitive. He battled for everything. Not super agile. You definitely want him as an outside corner, but he has great speed and he fits very well in Jeff Hafley's defense. Now, he also had some time injured in minicamp, which is not what you want to see from your rookies, of course, and certainly all these corners. But he did make a play. I can't remember if it was OTAs or like day one of minicamp. He did make a really nice pass breakup, and I think it was like a 2-minute drill. So there was already a couple signs here and there. And again, this corner position, number 4, 5, 6, all of them are wide open. And when you're drafted, it does give you a little bit of a leg up. So I'm going Micah Robinson, number 56 on this list. We'll be right back. We've got 1 weekend of baseball left before the All-Star break, which means it's time to get in your prize pick selections now before we have a lull in the baseball action. As always, Prize Picks is going all out just like they do during football season, and they have the best promos, prizes, and selections, and there's never been a better time to get in on all the action and to start winning. Now, right now, you can sign up for Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive that $50 bonus. It's absolutely guaranteed. So you think Milwaukee will stay hot ahead of the All-Star break? Will Jackson Chourio use his recent game-winning hit to get hot at the plate? Can Andrew Vaughn continue to impress in Milwaukee? It's time to cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money this baseball season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with James Wood against Milwaukee, and we'll also be looking for Freddie Peralta to have a dominant performance against Washington on Sunday. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Run your game. Back to offensive line, number 55, Travis Glover. Glover is a really interesting player. So if Green Bay is, in fact, making over this offensive line to be a bit bigger. Oh, hello, Travis Glover. He's a big, physical, a little bit more kind of mauling offensive lineman. One of the more interesting things that happened at the end of this past year was when they had the injuries along the offensive line against Philly. And the first guy up off the bench to play left guard of all things was Travis Glover. Now, fortunately for Glover, it didn't go great. It's a tough situation, really getting your first playing time at a position you didn't play in college as a rookie in the playoffs against the best defensive line in football. Welcome to the NFL, kid. But he was the one that they trusted with that assignment, which is really interesting. Now, again, it didn't go great. He got benched. Kadeem Telford came in, but they clearly liked something about him to put him in that position and give him that opportunity. And if that continues to trend up and he continues to show that he is worthy of more opportunities, you know, he not only could make the 53, but could maybe work himself a little bit more up as I think maybe the 7th, 8th, 9th offensive lineman. And maybe not just like a number 10 guy that's, you know, sort of redshirting. So I'm intrigued to say the least to see if Travis Glover can kind of continue that progression. And again, clearly they thought highly of him this past year. He was a guy that wasn't supposed to be in the Senior Bowl. And then they had somebody fall out. And then so they brought him into the Senior Bowl and then, you know, basically took the opportunity, played well, did really well in practice, impressed a lot of people. And then the Packers took him in the draft, of course, in 2024. So he comes in at number 55. Number 54 is the other guy that we just talked about, Kadeem Telford, the guy who came in after Glover. Telford was a UDFA in 2023. When I went through my UDFA series that year, he was a guy I really liked. Just again, big size, a little bit of mobility. I like these kind of bigger physical offensive tackles that have the ability to maybe move some people. I mentioned earlier, he played guard. They've moved him left tackle, left guard, right tackle. He wasn't somebody coming out of college that you expected to have much versatility. Same thing with Glover. You thought both of those guys would just probably stay at tackle, but they've really worked those guys inside. And we're seeing now NFL teams take some tackles that are 6'6", 6'7", that are prototypical tackle size and move them into guard. Mekhi Becton for the Eagles this past year. And basically just saying, we don't care what their height and weight is anymore. Like, we're just going to put our kind of our best five guys out there and we'll figure it out from there. Telford's done a great job of, you know, parlaying a 2023 UDFA practice squad spot into a 2024 active 53-man roster player. He did get, again, kind of beat out by Travis Glover to be the first guy in last year, but he took over. I thought played a little bit better than what Glover did, but it wasn't great either. And he's going to have a really big offseason. This is sort of the Mendoza line, if you will. What I kind of equate this to is the Alex Light, Yash Nyman year three Mendoza line. We'll give you 2 years to kind of develop in Green Bay, put you on the practice squad, then on the active roster as kind of a redshirt player. And then year three, though, you better be ready to actually go in and play and be like the seventh, eighth guy along the offensive line, maybe even higher than that. In year three, after 2 years of redshirting, Alex Light was not, and it was goodbye, Alex Light. In year three, Yash Nyman was, and he then got that opportunity to even start some games, be the swing tackle, et cetera. So for Kadeem Telford, this is that line in the sand of, hey, are you going to be somebody that's a viable, at least swing tackle for us, a real opportunity to play when need be, a emergency situation at guard or tackle that you can go in and hold your own? Or have you not developed over now the last couple seasons in year three, and we're going to need to go in a different direction? So that's what Telford's going to have to face this upcoming training camp. Number 53 is probably the easiest conversation we'll have today. Matt Orzech. He's the 53rd guy. He's going to make the roster. He doesn't have any competition. He's a long snapper. That's all you pretty much need to know. I will say, I think Matt Orzech did perform better this past year at his best season in the NFL, and that's a good sign. And for the first time in a while, it seems like, I guarantee, but it seems like they're going to have the same battery for the field goal and extra point operation with Orzech snapping, and then Whalen holding and McManus being the kicker. And I think that could cause some, you know, be a good opportunity just for some consistency within that group. But really nice year this past year for Matt Orzech. 52 is Malik Heath. I talked about him on the overrated list just because I think there is a hive of Malik Heath fans that maybe is just a little bit over aggressive, but I still really like Malik Heath. And I will say this, to me, Malik Heath is a 53-man rosterable wide receiver all day, every day. Okay, so whether it's in Green Bay or elsewhere, he is worthy of being on a 53-man roster somewhere. There's no question about that for me. The fact that he can be a possession wide receiver, that he does his job very well. When he gets opportunities, he usually makes the most of them, and he's a solid blocker on the outside as well. Like, you just need those guys. Maybe not always the flashiest kind of player, but he comes up with plays when given the opportunity, and there's something to that as well. Now, this is kind of a similar situation like we talked about with Kadeem Telford, where you're in year three. And for Malik Heath, he probably needs to show a little bit something, and certainly will need to if he wants to try to crack this wide receiver room in Green Bay. We've talked about might just be one spot at best, maybe two. But for Bo Melton, Mecole Hardman, and Malik Heath, Melton plays on a lot of special teams units. They're giving him some time on defense and on offense. Mecole Hardman potentially has the ability to be the top punt returner. There's some other things that those guys can do that Malik Heath can't. So he's going to have to win it as a true wide receiver and as a blocker on the outside. If he can do that, all the power to him. But this could be a practice squad situation and or somebody else potentially claiming him if Green Bay does decide to release him at the end of training camp. Number 51 is another one of those wide receivers and slash corners, I guess, Bo Melton. I can't give up Bo Melton entirely. I do not, by the way, view this this opportunity for him to play corner as like a desperation, let's give him one last chance to try to prove himself. I don't view it that way. I do think he's caught in the crosshairs of a very difficult wide receiver room to make. And I think anything that you can do extra adds to your value. And I do think this gives Bo Melton a very rare opportunity to put on his resume a ton of different positions and just value that he can add on a 48-man roster on game day. When you have the ability to be on the kick return team, the kick coverage team, the punt return team, the punt coverage team, potentially be a, at worst, emergency corner, but maybe even like, again, the number five or six corner, and be a number five or six wide receiver as well, that's potentially like three different roster spots, a special teams ace, a wide receiver five, and a corner five or six. That, again, could go to three different players on game day, and you could put one guy who can do all of those things. That is so much value. So it certainly adds to his ability to potentially make this team. Now, he's going to have to show that he can be a viable corner. There's a long way to go before we get to that point. I will say, I thought he kind of looked the part when given the opportunity in corner and minicamp, but that's a long way away from trying to cover Justin Jefferson in a game, right? So we'll see if Melton can continue on that trajectory, but I do think his added value gives him a little bit of a step up to try to make this team, but I don't think it's a desperation thing. And I do still think he's a very solid wide receiver that is worthy of being a number five or six wide receiver in the NFL. Number 50 is a player that I really like and actually have some legitimate expectations for, and that is Kamal Haddon. To me, Kamal Haddon has a not only real opportunity to make this 53, but to be the next guy up. I think of Micah Robinson, Kalen King, Gregory Jr., Kamal Haddon, of that next group of corners, I think Kamal Haddon is the best of that group. Now, he doesn't have versatility, meaning you can't play him in the slot. He's going to have to be a true outside corner, in my opinion, in Green Bay. But I think he's got talent, and I think he can play in the NFL. And if it were me, and let's say you only had two corners left, let's say, you know, Nixon and Bullard go down, right? So you've got Hobbs and Valentine, and you need one more corner. No question about it. Really, any of the two. If any of the two go down, Kamal Haddon is my next guy up. And he would be playing on the outside. And I think he can hang. I think he can absolutely hang in this Jeff Hafley defense. He's a willing and able tackler. He's got good size. The speed is a little bit of an issue, the long speed. But guess what? You've got Xavier McKinney patrolling the back end of the defense to help out with that a little bit. So he's not perfect, right? He's a sixth-round pick that got released pretty easily by KC this past year. But I think Green Bay found a little bit of something here. Not only do I expect him to make the 53, again, I think he's going to end up as the true corner four in Green Bay this year, barring any other transactions that they make at the position. Number 49 is Jacob Monk. Jacob Monk got a great opportunity in OTA and minicamp with Elgton Jenkins being out, that he was the starting center for all of those weeks. And there's a couple of things that that does. A, it gets him on the same page with Jordan Love from a snap standpoint, as well as just the cadence, the checks, the audibles, all those sort of things. It also gives you the opportunity to work with the ones. And sometimes with players, you might not look as good when you're with the twos or the threes because everything around you is chaotic. The quarterback's worse, the running back's worse, the receiver's worse, the tight end's worse. Sometimes you just need good players around you to sort of elevate your game as well. And just being, you know, with those type of top players, it can show like, oh, this guy can go out there and play at that level. So just getting that look with the ones, I think, is going to be very valuable for him as well. I do like Monk as a center. The player that I have equated him to since Green Bay drafted him is Lucas Patrick. Not the biggest guy in the world, not going to maul anybody, but just a very sound, athletic offensive lineman who's going to work extremely hard, do his job, has center guard versatility. If you told me Jacob Monk could turn into what Lucas Patrick gave Green Bay for however many years, Patrick's still playing in the league. Like he's made a really nice career out of it and deservedly so. Was always like the first guy out there when you're at training camp to get out there and start working. One of the last guys to be practicing as well. Just gave it his all. If Monk can give you something similar to what Lucas Patrick gave, I think you will, that's a more than valuable fifth round pick that they spent on him. But it's a great opportunity for him. Hopefully, he does not get that opportunity in training camp because we would all love Elgton Jenkins to be out there and practicing. But if he's not, he's going to have a real opportunity to get some time with Jordan Love and the ones, I would think, at center again come training camp. On the flip side of that, I do think Monk's going to have to earn his spot, though. There's a lot of competition on the offensive line. I wouldn't put him as a lead pipe lock to make the team. He's a good bet to make it, but he's still going to have to go out and earn that spot in training camp this year. Number 48 is Tyron Hopper. It's another kind of just mystery bag, right? Third round pick a season ago. He's not going anywhere. I think it'd be very difficult to cut a third round pick just from 2024 when there really hasn't even been that opportunity for him to get out on the field. But the best case scenario you would think for Hopper would be that number three linebacker on base downs. He's going to have to beat out both Isaiah Simmons and Isaiah McDuffie. He's got to beat out the two Isaiahs in order to get to that spot. I think that's going to be a tough thing to do, but I do think he's going to take a step this offseason. I really do. I actually liked some of the stuff that I saw in training camp and in preseason this past year. He's an athletic, fast, physical linebacker. He just has to get down the nuances of the defense, kind of find his NFL game speed. But he made a couple plays in OTAs and minicamps where he was cruising sideline to sideline and getting to his spots on the field as well. There's legitimately something there. I don't think anyone loved the Hopper third round pick. I don't think anyone was like, yes, Hopper, third round, we got him. I think everyone kind of viewed him more as a fifth round pick. I understand that pick for Green Bay. It is very difficult right now with college linebackers, the way that they're playing, to find true height, weight, speed, physical inside linebackers. And even if one didn't have the greatest college tape, when you find that prototype, you kind of just take it and hope you can develop it. They took it. He's got that prototype. Like, you look at him out on the field and you're like, he looks as, you know, as physical and athletic as a linebacker that you would potentially want as a starting linebacker in the NFL. He has it. Now it's just, can he put it together? So I understand the pick, even if I didn't maybe love it at the time, but it now would be a great time for Tyron Hopper to kind of make that jump in 2025. Number 47 is Daniel Whalen. I really liked Whalen in his first season, about the first half of last season. Very Jaden Reed type trajectory here. First year and a half went well. The last half of last year was a little bit too up and down for my liking. Just need to see that consistency from Whalen. Now, the great news for him, he has no competition. I don't think he should really have competition. I think he needs to be the guy. I think you need to get somebody in Green Bay punting consistently, being the same holder. He wasn't bad enough to be like, yeah, let's move on and go in a different direction. But I do think this is going to be a very important year for Whalen. And if he can show that consistency, he probably gets a long-term deal to be the punter for the foreseeable future for Green Bay. If not, they probably bring him back on a one-year cheap-ish deal if they can get him back for that and probably bring in some competition in 2026. Number 46 is Mecole Hardman. Hardman has some real legitimate opportunity to be the punt returner for this team. And if so, that's probably his avenue to the 53-man roster. As I talked about in my most overrated player segment of our underrated and overrated players, here are the stats on Mecole Hardman. 27 catches, 214 yards, zero touchdowns from a receiving standpoint. Those are not his 2024 stats. They're not his 2023 stats. They're not even his 2022 stats. Those are his 22, 23, and 24 stats combined. 27 for 214, well under 10 yards per catch, zero touchdowns in the last 3 years combined as from a receiving standpoint for Mecole Hardman. He did have a couple of rushing touchdowns in there, has been a punt returner as well. But as a pure, true wide receiver over a three-year period of time with the Jets and the Chiefs, he has done next to nothing. So he's going to have to prove himself and find a way to make this team not only as a returner, but show a little bit more as a wide receiver as well. If he can do that, I think he has a real chance to make it at the bottom of the roster as a 53-man roster guy. But as we've talked about, this wide receiver room is insanely difficult to make. He's battling with Malik Heath and Bo Melton. Heath and Melton are younger, have some potential team control, especially with Heath, I know for sure, and maybe even arguably a little bit more upside. But I love Hardman's punt return ability. I do think you can use him as a gadget guy. I did think his tape in KC had some opportunities to hit him, and they just didn't. I thought they could have utilized him better. And then what I will also say for Mecole Hardman is not only the special team stuff, but he adds a veteran mentality to that locker room at wide receiver as well, which I think could be a real added benefit. Number 45 is basically the exact same conversation we just had with Mecole Hardman, but it's with Isaiah Simmons. Now, why Simmons is higher is I think Simmons is going to be a special teams ace for Rich Bisaccia. I think he's going to be one of their best special teams players this upcoming year. At least that's the hope. That's the expectation. He's got to make the team first, but if he can, and I think that's the way he's going to do it, there's some real opportunity for him to kind of be a real game wrecker on teams, fingers crossed. The other thing I will say is there are ways to utilize him. Quarterback, spy, blitzer. can hang in coverage a little bit here and there. But overall, his defensive performance through his career so far is a net negative. You generally don't want him on the field on defense all that much. But this is kind of a souped up, you know, sort of Eric Wilson. It's a little bit different. Wilson, I think, was a little bit more assignment sure, better against the run and those sort of things. But a number five-ish linebacker who is going to be great on teams that you can put in nickel or base situations, and he can hang. And that's what you're kind of looking for at that spot. And you get a much more athletic version of it in Isaiah Simmons than what you had this past year in Eric Wilson. So really like the signing. I do think he's going to make the team, and hopefully he can be a big time add on special teams. Number 44 is Warren Brinson. Brinson should just make the team. I mean, he's easily the fifth best defensive tackle. It might even be better than that, depending on what they get out of Wooden and Carl Brooks. You've got Wyatt and Clark, and then that group of defensive tackles that we talked about yesterday, including, I guess, Nasir Stackhouse as well. The main competition here might be Brinson v. Stackhouse, but Brinson was a sixth-round pick and Stackhouse was undrafted. That won't matter all that much if Stackhouse is just better and Brinson doesn't show up. They'll keep Stackhouse, but Brinson will have the leg up in the race going into training camp. And certainly if there's any injuries ahead of them, Brinson should make it pretty easily. Brinson was one of the players that I really liked when I threw on the tape. I thought there was a lot more there than I was expecting. He can hold up at the point of attack. He's got a little bit of a juice. He's a modern NFL defensive tackle that if you want to put him at nose and have him hold up at the point of attack, he has that ability. And also, if you want him to penetrate a little bit, has that ability as well. You don't want kind of that one trick pony. You want somebody that can do a little bit of everything. I think Brinson, if he hits his upside, has that ability. So I thought his, you know, probably being in a super deep defensive tackle draft class, as well as kind of going a little bit unnoticed at Georgia with all the other insane talent around him, I think that caused him maybe to drop a little bit more than he should. I thought this was a fourth or at worst fifth round defensive tackle that Green Bay was able to pick up in the sixth round. Number 43, we're going to stay at the same position. That's Colby Wooden. Wooden has put on weight, and it sounds like he's going to play some nose tackle for Green Bay. I'm super interested to see how that goes. I'm a believe it when I see it sort of guy. I do think he put on some strength, some muscle, and just some weight. And I do think that this is probably a smart move for Colby Wooden. He was playing three technique, and he wasn't the most explosive guy as it was. And they have a lot of players who can play that. They have Kenny Clark. They have, you know, Devontae Wyatt. Carl Brooks is just better at it. I even think Brinson might be better at it. There's just guys that are more explosive to play that spot. So if he's going to make it, he probably needs to make it a little bit more as a run defender. He's a former fourth round pick that's now in year three that hasn't shown a lot so far. This is Wooden's opportunity. With the depth chart the way that it is, he probably just makes it kind of no matter what. That's probably not true. If he's bad, he won't make it. But he's got a real great opportunity to make the roster. But it does have a little bit of a now or never. You're in year three. We need to see something at this point from Colby Wooden. So I like the little bit of change in philosophy for him. Just very interested to see how it works out. 42, one of the most unique players on the team that I cannot wait to get a glimpse of. I'm bummed we didn't get a little bit more of an opportunity to see it in OTAs and minicamps because of some injury issues. That's Colin Oliver. I mean, you watch this guy on tape. Explosive first step. I mean, they haven't had an edge rusher like this since, you know, really, I'll say Kabir and Jamal Reynolds. Both had unbelievable explosiveness and that speed off the edge. Boom, he's there. Now, one of those guys worked out incredibly well. The other was an insane bust. Thankfully, the guy that they took later in the draft, I want to say like fifth round as well, and Kabir did work out. The guy they took in the first round clearly did not. But if Oliver can show some of that Kabir type ability, just an unbelievable first step off the edge and get that explosion and get to the quarterback, cause some chaos, he's going to have a real, real opportunity to make, I don't know how much of an impact I want to say, but he'll have a role and a responsibility on this team. And the fact that he might be able to play a little bit of off-ball linebacker gives him a bit more versatility, more avenues to make the team. I think he could be a real big special teams player as well. So really, really interested in Colin Oliver. This could really work, or this could just be like, well, we tried it, didn't work. See you later, fifth round pick. Like, this could go in a wide range of directions, but I love the flyer on this, and I'm very excited. I do think it's going to work out. We'll be right back.
Hey friends, I'm so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Prealcohol. Now, ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of that byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down, so just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, to drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit skeptical about Prealcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather, and before that backyard barbecue brew, the glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, do not forget your ZBiotics Prealcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that summer has to offer. So go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use code packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code packaday.
Number 41, Kingsley Enagbare. Again, I've talked about it. I don't need to beleaguer this anymore. I think Enagbare is going to be in a fight for his life with that $3 million contract with Oliver and Baron Sorrell and, you know, LVN, Rashawn Gary, Brenton Cox. This is a very tough defensive end group now to try to make. And Enagbare is in the last year of his deal, makes more than those other guys by almost 2 million. And at least the ones that he's competing with. And he's a little bit older as well. So this is going to be a very important offseason for Enagbare. I think there's a rosterable 53-man guy there. And I think he can even make an impact if he kind of hits his upside. But I thought 2024 was pretty disappointing for Enagbare. He's going to have a much better camp if he wants to stay on the team and even get some of those reps and snaps and opportunities in 2025. Number 40 is Baron Sorrell. And you look at him as a player that has an opportunity to come in and be part of the rotation right away as a fourth round pick. There you go. I mean, he has every opportunity in front of him. Now, Sorrell is kind of a little bit of an Enagbare type where he shows a little bit of everything. He's got some moves in his arsenal. He's got good height, weight, speed, strength. This should have been a player to me that probably went ahead of where Green Bay got him in the fourth round. Didn't always show up on tape, meaning there were certainly games and even I would say seasons at times where he left you wanting just a little bit more, but the athletic profile and the analytics on him are through the roof. And there is a real opportunity that Green Bay got a steal here in the fourth round. So opportunity is there. They could use somebody that comes in and steps up and plays right away as a fourth round defensive end. And I think he can hang both as a pass rusher and against the run. There's going to be a real opportunity there for Baron Sorrell this upcoming year. 39 is Brenton Cox. We're going right through these defensive ends. 42, Colin Oliver. 41, Enagbare. 40, Baron Sorrell. And 39, Brenton Cox Jr. In a small sample size, Brenton Cox had a really great pressure rate and also showed that he was able to hold up against the run. And this is why I say, if it comes down, because I don't think Sorrell or Oliver are probably going anywhere. Neither are Gary or LVN. So if this comes down to Brenton Cox Jr. or Kingsley Enagbare, I just thought Brenton Cox Jr. was better last year, not to mention the team control, the younger player, the salary situation, right? Brenton Cox has all of those things going in his favor. I think they found something there in Brenton Cox. Now, I'm not saying starting play or anything like that, but I think they found a really cheap number three or four defensive end option, at worst number five. I really wouldn't want to get rid of Brenton Cox at this point. Now, if he has a really bad camp or doesn't show up or anything like that, sure. By no means is he a lock to make the roster, but should have a real opportunity to make it in 2025. And I think he should. And I think he should have a real legitimate role on this team if he can carry over what he did in 2024. Number 38, I might be a little bit too high on this player. And he's certainly in a battle for his roster spot. That's Chris Brooks. This is just one of those running backs that every team needs. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. He pass protects well. He run blocks well. They even in that pony package used him as like a lead fullback in some situations. He can run the ball well. He can play on special teams. He's like the ideal number three running back. You kind of want your bell cow. You want a flashy number two that can give you some spark. Hello, Marshawn Lloyd. Hello, number one, Josh Jacobs. And then you kind of want just your do-it-all blitz pickup guy, catch the ball to the backfield, third down back. Think of like a Tony Fisher. Tony Fisher for Green Bay back in the day. That's Chris Brooks. And I actually think Brooks is a better runner than what Tony Fisher was. So I really like him. I thought Green Bay found a real gem and kind of hidden diamond in the rough. It just out of nowhere in 2024. He was, one of the players that you didn't expect anything from coming off of a just street free agent signing. And he quickly became somebody that you could count on in the backfield. So very high on Chris Brooks, but he's definitely in a fight for that roster spot. If they keep four running backs, he's probably safe. If they keep three, the battle between him and number 37 on my list, Emmanuel Wilson, gets pretty intense. I think Emmanuel Wilson can be a really good running back in this league. I really do. You know, he needs an opportunity. He needs to get a little bit better at pass pro and at catching the ball out of the backfield. But I thought he made strides in both of those things in 2024. We've seen some of the explosiveness. He runs behind his pads well. He's got pretty good vision. You know, we saw him in that preseason game take what, like 70 yarder to the house against Cincinnati a couple of years ago. I think he's actually a pretty complete back right in front of our eyes. I would hate to see Emmanuel Wilson go. I mean, PFF had this guy in the 80s last year when given the opportunity. He's a good player. And if you do need, if like Josh Jacobs does go down, Wilson can carry the load. Like, I think you could give him 18 to 20 snaps per game. You know who I think he can be that Green Bay want? I think this can be the player that Green Bay wanted AJ Dillon to be. Now, not quite that physical of a runner, right? But somebody that runs behind his pads is a little bit bigger, has a little bit of, not a little bit, has some juice to it. I think he can break some of those runs that Dillon didn't have the ability to do. I think what they kind of foresaw in AJ Dillon, I think Emmanuel Wilson can actually be. So he comes number 37 on the list. Number 36 is Zane Anderson. Just Mr. Solid, do it all. He's a little bit older. I do think he's in a little bit of a fight to kind of make this team. But when he had the opportunity to start at safety last year, he looked good. He looked the part. He was right there. And I think he's going to have the ability to show out in preseason when he gets any reps out there. Like if he's in like the number threes on defense, he's going to stand out in a pretty significant way because this is a player that played well with the ones last year. Not to mention he is a core special teams guy, probably somebody that Rich Bisaccia is going to fight tooth and nail to have back on that unit. He's a pretty good bet to make the team. I do think on my 53, I kind of left him off. I didn't want to do it. Just it was really tough to kind of get everyone out there. I do think he probably makes the 53. He's just a really good football player. And outside of the age thing and just not having a ton of upside as a player, meaning there's probably nothing special there, right? You're not going to get a Pro Bowl player out of him. And, you know, again, he's a little bit older at this point. Outside of that, just a really good football player. Someone I think Green Bay is very happy to have on the roster. Number 35. Is another safety. That's Ketan Oladapo. I think Green Bay has something here. I think they have a legitimate starting safety. I also think they have somebody who could potentially play that Raven Green role and go down in the box as like a nickel linebacker if they ever needed to or wanted to. They probably don't need to because they have Quay and Edgerrin Cooper, but if one of those guys get hurt and they don't want to necessarily put Isaiah Simmons or maybe a Tyron Hopper out there, I could see Oladapo getting some opportunity there as well. But I'm interested to see if Oladapo gets in the conversation with Javon Bullard for that number three safety spot. He is a physical presence. He is fast. He's athletic. And again, when given the opportunity last year, I think it was the Chicago game at the end of the year, he graded out well and looked really good out there at safety. So Green Bay just has a unbelievable, you know, just embarrassment of riches and depth at that safety position. And I think Ketan Oladapo is ready to take a step in 2025. 34 and 33, we could probably talk about simultaneously. That's Savion Williams at 34 and Anthony Belton at 33. They're third and second round picks. Two extremely talented players. Two players that are probably going to need some time to develop that I'm not expecting huge things from or even maybe anything from. I'm not going into the season being like, yep, Savion Williams is going to end up with 50 catches or Anthony Belton's going to be your starting offensive lineman. In fact, if you told me that these two were inactive a decent part of the year, I would probably totally believe you as well. But they're both incredibly talented players that have extremely high ceilings and upsides. And I'm excited to see if they can get involved sooner rather than later and have that opportunity to maybe play if and when needed this upcoming season. So the expectations for them, it's tough to kind of do it. Ranking them with the rest of the players on this team, also very tough to do. I think kind of putting them side by side, Savion Williams at 34, Anthony Belton at 33, kind of makes a lot of sense here. Number 32 is Isaiah McDuffie. Isaiah McDuffie's probably never going to be anyone's favorite Packer. There's probably not going to be not a lot of number 58 jerseys in the stands. You know, core special teamer. He plays linebacker the way that it's supposed to be played. Every step, every position that he's in, everything is just by the book. And you watch him play and you're going to see linebacker play the way that it's supposed to be. Upside, maybe not there, but right place, right time, assignment, sure. You know, knows the calls, the checks, the audibles, obviously has that familiarity with Jeff Hafley from his days in Boston College. This was a player that I think a lot of people expected, you know, Green Bay just to kind of move on from, you know, knowing that they had Tyron Hopper as a third round pick and maybe would take a linebacker in the draft. All right, they'd probably just move on from McDuffie. It was the first player that they re-signed was McDuffie this offseason. They clearly like him, I think deservedly so. I'm excited to have him back in the fold. I think whether he's the third, fourth, fifth linebacker, just a good football player, core special teamer, and one that I'm excited is back in Green Bay. Then 31, last but not least for today, is Luke Musgrave. Another just huge mystery box player. We saw some really good stuff as a rookie in flashes. Saw the stumbling, he played a little bit too fast. 2023, he was injured. 2024, he was injured even more. Barely played this last year. Had something about like 7 catches. It just has not been going the way that I'm sure Luke Musgrave would have wanted it to go in those first 2 seasons so far. But immensely talented player, second round pick. I do think that there are ways to utilize him in the red zone, in play action, and I do want to see more 12 personnel this year. As I've said a billion times this offseason, the idea of Luke Musgrave way up here. What we've actually seen from Luke Musgrave so far, nowhere near it. I think this is the year. I think in year 3, we're going to see a little bit better, and I think his health is going to dictate that a whole heck of a lot more. But it's a big year for Luke Musgrave. And if he can be that player, the opportunity to go a lot of 12 personnel and add something legitimate to this offense is really enticing, really exciting, and could really open up this offense in a new and exciting way. Our list today, to recap it, number tied for 59, I guess, if you will, Ben Sims and John Fitzpatrick, 58, John Williams, 57, Donovan Jennings, 56, Micah Robinson, 55, Travis Glover, 54, Kadeem Telford, 53, Matt Orzech, 52, Malik Heath, 51, Bo Melton, 50, Kamal Haddon, 49, Jacob Monk, 48, Tyron Hopper, 47, Daniel Whalen, 46, McCole Hardman, 45, Isaiah Simmons, 44, Warren Brinson, 43, Colby Wooden, 42, Colin Oliver, 41, Kingsley Enagbare, 40, Baron Sorrell, 39, Brenton Cox Jr., 38, Chris Brooks, 37, Emmanuel Wilson, 36, Zane Anderson, 35, Ketana Ladapo, 34, Savion Williams, 33, Anthony Belton, 32, Isaiah McDuffie, and 31, Luke Musgrave. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Mo State of Minnesota, and PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Griffin Blee. I will see you guys tomorrow for the final wrap-up of numbers 30 through 1. Again, hit those notifications, like, subscribe, give those 5-star reviews. We appreciate it a ton. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go, and enjoy your weekend.